Hey, Jen, what's wrong?
Ugh, I just got off a sales call with someone who was trying to pitch me something, but this time I actually wanted the product, and they just wouldn't listen.
So I'm guessing that this brillante salesperson didn't close the deal.
No chance.
You know, they needed my little ebook of how to listen. It's available right now, and it's free. This little book is a wake-up call in sales that your silver tongue and gift of gab will not cut it anymore. Prospects need to feel listened to, or you can kiss your commission goodbye. When you talk, you can't hear customers' thoughts and opinions. This free ebook will give you the insight to find out the genuine buying motive of your customer every time. Click the link in the show notes and get started.
I'm sorry, what'd you just say?
So I want to define a great business first. To me, a great business is sustainable, predictable, stable, consistent, and has an emotional connection.
To their customers or to their people?
Yes.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hello out there, diehards. It's sell or die time once again. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling. I also wrote the Sales Manifesto, and you're about to listen to the best sales podcast on the planet with me and my partner,
Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone? Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Me and Jen have gotten hitched over the past couple of weeks, and I want everybody to know how happy I am.
Aww.
And I'm going to make my wife a happy wife so I can have a happy life.
In the meantime,
we have a really good and old friend of mine today on the show.
Is he old?
No.
Or like long time?
Yeah.
Okay,
long
just time checking.
Friend.
Just checking.
More than a decade.
Mm.
Monty Wyatt. He is the most successful business coach in the Action Coach system and has been there for the last 3 years.
Well, damn.
I know. And he lives in Iowa.
Like middle of nowhere.
No, it's not the middle of nowhere, but you can see the middle of nowhere from there.
I gotcha. Okay, cool. By the way, I like Iowa, for those of you who are from there. We went to Des Moines a couple of months ago,
it
and it was great.
Surprising.
We had great steak. Yeah.
So my challenge for you today, diehards, is to think about yourself and your own leadership position, because we're going to talk to Monty Wyatt today. He's going to talk about leadership. What are you leading, Jen?
Well, I lead myself first, mm-hmm. and then I lead our team.
You lead the dogs. Oh, no, wait.
They lead me.
Right.
Let's be real here. They lead me. But hey, before we get to Monty, let's read a 5-star review. Nada.
All right. Today we get one from Jason that says, in today's world, there's no shortage of information or ways to get that information. So when you're standing in line at the buffet of information,
whoa,
where do you go? That's where Sell or Die comes in. Jen, Jeffrey, and all their guests cut through the fluff and give you grade
Ooh.
A red meat. Thank you, Jeffrey and Jen, for creating this network of diehards that I'm proud to be a part of.
I appreciate that. I'm going to have to defer just a little bit because grade A red meat is no longer on my diet, but I will take fish. Like, I'll be grade A salmon, wild-caught salmon. But I think the bottom line is this guy has it right.
Jason, thank you.
I love the buffet of information.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, hell of a line.
I love that. I love that. All right. So all of our 5-star reviews get read on Sell or Die. Please,
yep.
Please, we beg you, if you wanted to give us a wedding gift, our registry is right at iTunes. And just go to the Sell or Die podcast and give us a review. That would be the best gift we could ever have.
So let's get to Monty right now. He's going to point out who he pictures as the ideal leader. He's going to explain why treating your team like mindless robots can lead to a disaster. And Monty gives his example of what a successful business is. But I'm going to challenge you, diehards. It is now time to think. At the end of this episode, I'm going to ask you who your ideal leaders are or have been in your life. So I want you to be thinking about that. As this leadership lesson evolves, it's a thinker, it's a winner. Please help us welcome the great Monty Wyatt. I have known Monty Wyatt for over a decade. He, as a human being, he rocks. He's a family guy. He lives in the Midwest, and he has become successful in an area where very few people really reach his level of success. He's the CEO of Adding Zeros, which is an executive development firm, and one of the top coaches in Action Coach Business Coaching. Monty has won the Executive Coach four times in his illustrious career, most recently in 2018, and now he's the co-author of Pulling Profits Out of a Hat. Adding Zeros to Your Company Isn't Magic, which he co-wrote with the great Brad Sugars. Please help me welcome diehards, the great Monty Wyatt.
Woo! Monty, we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity.
You can use that introduction as a eulogy, too, if you need it at some time later.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty good one. tell me about the book, Adding Zeros, just to kind of, you know, it's been out for a few weeks now. People can get their hands on it. What's going on with that thing?
You know, it's been out for about 6 weeks, not quite 6 weeks. We've done a ton of marketing and pulling profits out of a hat. Just amazing. We got on Wall Street Journal 3 weeks in a row. So we're pretty excited. So the interest is there. And the reason I share that is because the message in the book is about creating discipline in organizations, mm-hmm. not just about an individual having discipline. It's about organizations needing discipline. And when you create certain areas of discipline, you create greater profit in your organization. You create greater teamwork and greater results.
Yeah. So let's dive into it. What are some of those strategies to create discipline?
Yeah. Because if it's a diet, I'm already on one.
So I want to define a great business first. To me, a great business is sustainable, predictable, stable, consistent, and has an emotional connection.
To their customers or to their people?
Yes, it's okay. To all the above. Because you know, when I think of sustainability, to me, the company should outlast every person that's in it. And so in order to do that, you've got to treat your customers well. You've got to have the right product line. You've got to treat your employees well. So you've got to have a long-term view of sustainability. Predictability is about knowing what works for your marketing, what works in your customer service, and how are you servicing your customers? Because if we don't treat our customers well, they won't come back. The stability side of it, it's about your people. How stable are we? Because we have low turnover. We have high engagement. We're attracting and recruiting the right people. Consistency is about making sure no matter who the customer deals with, they know what to expect because it's us as an organization. You know, I use the example here of, you know, we've all got our favorite restaurant and we all probably have our favorite server in that restaurant. And we only go the nights that he or she works because we know how we're going to get treated.
That's actually true. Yeah.
And to me, that restaurant needs to work on their consistency. So no matter which wait staff the customer interacts with, they get a great experience with. And then that last piece of emotional connection, you know, both the customer and internal people and shareholders need to be passionate about the organization. Why do we like it here? What's our emotional connection? We're adding value to the world. We're doing more than just making money. Making money is the result. We have bigger impact.
But the larger the company, the more you're going to get apathy when you're talking from customer to customer service person. You know, they'll tell you that's our policy. They'll tell you it's not covered. They'll tell you that's the best
that's
we can do.
That's not how we do things here.
Yeah, that's not how, you know, well, you'll have to ship it back first. And they'll give you reasons to prevent sales and loyalty.
You know, one of your books made a huge impact on me, and it's the customer satisfaction is worthless, customer loyalty is priceless. You know, that the your message in there is about having standards, not rules. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where most companies mess up. They have rules and we can only do A and B and we're not willing to do C and D. It's what are the standards that we're going to treat someone with and how are we going to serve our customer? When you have rules, we want to break them.
Interestingly, that book was written before the internet. And so that rule hasn't changed at all. But the way those rules can now be reported on is now a TripAdvisor, Yelp, Google, whatever your, you know, Amazon. There, somebody's going to click you for a star.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm asking my audience is, are you five stars? Are you a five? And I, to me, that's part of profitability is being a five, wouldn't it be?
Yeah. If you're not treating the, if you're not treating your team well, they're not going to treat the customer well. Mm-hmm. You don't give the team the right standards to live by. You only give them rules. They don't feel like they're empowered to do anything. So the message of standards is powerful.
So what's the mindset behind that? And what mindset is needed for organizations to succeed today?
You know, I think the biggest thing is what I call the abundance mindset. The opposite of abundance is scarcity. And scarcity is so prevalent today. There's not enough. There's not enough money. There's not enough customer. There's not enough time. Well, the abundant mindset says there is enough. There is always enough as long as we're doing the right things. And abundant thinking actually asks the question, how can we? How can we make this work? And so many conversations end with, we can't do that because. And it's got to be the conversation of how can we make this work.
You know, it's interesting. Monty lives in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's talking about abundance, I think of the harvest.
Mm.
And so...
I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
What you're talking about right now has to do with how a farmer does his gig. He's got to fertilize the field. The soil has to be exactly right. He's got to plant it right. He's got to make sure it waters. He's got to pray for rain. And then in the end, if he's used the right seed and he's used the right formula, he has an abundant or she has an abundant harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key.
Well, but here's the deal, okay? So if you're, some of our diehards are behind on quota and some of them are not in a reality that is abundant. So how do you create an abundance mindset when you're feeling like you're behind or not at your number where you need to be?
So that goes to having a conversation around the, how can we make X impact? How can we make this influence? So I was talking with a client the other day and they're in financial services and their sales team is behind their goal, is behind where they want to be. And so I asked a few questions. I said, okay, where do we have our best opportunity? And they had their stats. This is a financial institution. They've got banking, they've got insurance, they've got wealth management, they've got all of that. And they've got thousands of banking customers that do nothing in insurance, nothing in wealth management. And so where is our biggest opportunity? They love our banking, but they don't know anything about any other industry or any other piece of our business. So it's the question, how can we, and how do we change our behavior right now to go after that best opportunity?
There's another aspect of that to me, and that is the attitude of the boss when you're behind. Is he threatening you? Is he encouraging you? Is he mm-hmm. sticking a foot up your butt? What is the demeanor of the leader at that point in order to be able to, you know, is he or she?
Oh, yeah, that's so important.
Is he or she panicked?
Because
mm-hmm. if they're panicked, you're definitely going to be panicked. If he or she comes in the morning and says, hey, I'm going to make sales calls with each of you for the next 5 weeks. so fill my calendar up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The manager has to have that abundant view, and that it starts with, we can do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts. If the manager or leader of a sales team doesn't say we can do this and we're going to find a way, they are
going to happen. Get, yeah.
Yeah. So you, in your book, you talk about leadership versus management. And I'm curious to know, when you picture the ideal leader, what qualities, in addition to a growth mindset or abundance mindset, do you feel that they might have or they should have?
So I want to answer in a couple ways. Number one is, I think the world today has taught us or made us believe that management and leadership are the same. And I think that is totally incorrect. Just because I'm a manager does not mean I'm a leader. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm a leader doesn't mean I have to be a manager. Leadership is creating passion and focus around something. You're guiding people with a vision that you can influence them down a path. That's what leadership does. And to be a great leader, you have to be able to share that vision, share that focus, share that passion. A manager helps their team be competent and productive. And I don't believe you can manage people. You can only lead people, and you manage a process. So whether the process is sales actions or process is who's on our database and how many are we calling, but we got to lead people with that vision and that energy and that passion so we can manage a process.
I've always defined it as lead other people, manage yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 And so what are some of the qualities that the best leaders you've seen have?
You know, number one is they take ownership for their own success. If I'm a leader, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to not blame anybody else. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm going to get up and I'm going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. That's what a leader does. And again, that's, it doesn't matter what title you have. You can be a customer service person. You can be a salesperson. You don't have to be a manager to take ownership. You're going to, that's a leader no matter what your role is.
So diehards, this is a good time to ask yourself, are you a leader?
Yeah. Are you willing to stand up and help people, encourage people? Are you giving the team meeting cheer in the morning, or are you just sitting back there with a cup of coffee wondering, how come they didn't have the same kind of donuts that I like? It's unbelievable to me. There's donuts in the office and people come in and bitch about the fact that it's not their favorite donut.
Like, dude, be freaking grateful that there's donuts in the office.
Right. Get your own freaking donut.
And bring them for everybody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
So recently you tweeted the following.
Whoa.
Treating your team like a gang of mindless robots instead of individuals can have disastrous consequences. Do you feel that that's a common trend that you're seeing now?
You know, this goes back to leadership and management. I think there's a lot of managers out there that want to tell their team what to do and that they're the only ones that can answer certain questions. I think a big part of being a leader as a great manager is that you teach your people how to think. And I think that is a gap. If I'm the only one who can answer any questions, I am treating my team as they're mindless and I need to guide them in every step. My job as a leader and a manager is to teach my team how to think. And I may have to teach them by asking the right questions instead of giving the answer. Mm. I may have to challenge them on finding their own solutions and helping them answer their own questions. But if I'm the only one that can answer their question, yeah. I am treating them as mindless.
You know, I've said for 25 years to employees of mine, hundreds of them.
They don't like hearing this, by the way.
I'm not paying you to do your job. I'm paying you to think.
When you hear that, it means you didn't think about something.
Right. It means you have tripped on your brain.
Right.
But the bottom line is most errors that occur are thoughtless. Someone has lost their focus, they've lost their concentration, they've lost their mindset, or they've lost their mind, and they've done things that are just plain stupid. And they weren't thinking about it. You know, oh, geez, I messed up. No, dude, you weren't thinking.
Yeah, that just reinforces you got to slow down to speed up. I got to slow down and think for a second, and then I can move fast.
Exactly.
If I'm going 100 miles an hour, I'm not thinking. I'm not stop sign or that turn or that curve.
Totally. All right. So in Pulling Profits Out of a Hat, you talk about the five disciplines of exponential growth.
Come on.
We all want exponential growth. So tell us, what are the five disciplines?
Absolutely.
Rob a bank. Hold on. Rob a bank. What's number two?
Invest the money.
You know, I the first discipline that I like to start at is strategy. Every business has to be clear on how they're going to win. Mm-hmm. And that's how I define strategy, is how is your business going to win? There's some great things to think about, but if you aren't clear on what winning is for your business, and it isn't always, well, it isn't just profit today. If we only have profit today, that doesn't mean we're going to win long term. So strategy is how are we going to win long term?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first discipline. The second discipline is business development. And when I say business development, that encompasses marketing, sales, customer service, how we are engaging with the customer, how are we understanding their needs, how are we meeting their needs, how are we satisfying and creating loyal customers. So the second discipline is around business development. The third discipline is around people. To me, people are so important. We made a discipline around them all by itself. And the reason we did that is because this is about leading and developing your team, but also recruiting the right team members. It's about how are we communicating with our team? How are we interacting? Because every business has to have employees to make things work. So we have to have a discipline around how are we doing things around our people. The next discipline is all about execution. You know, discipline of execution creates that consistency. What are the processes that we're going to follow? What's our way of working? You know, I want to touch on this one just a little bit more. I had a client the other day say, well, we don't want to be corporate and be told how to do things, because we were talking about processes. And I said, you know, a timeout. Let's talk about our way of working. Let's pretend you had 10 customer service people. Would it be okay if all 10 customer service people did things differently? No, you want them to be consistent, communicating and managing the products and the interactions with their customers similarly, so we're giving a great experience. That's a process, is our way of doing business. And so execution is about being consistent in how we do our business, that everyone follows that. It's making sure we are managing the business and our financials. That's execution. When we execute, our financials happen. The last discipline is mission. Now, what I'm not talking about here is a mission statement. The discipline of mission is all about how are we creating that emotional connection. It's what's the purpose of our organization that's bigger than us. It's bigger than just making money. It's about our culture, our environment, our values. How are we interacting in our community? How are we giving back to our community? And those disciplines, I mean, there's massive depth in each one, but to truly grow, you've got to have all five of them working. And that's where the concept of adding zeros came from, is we can't just add zeros to growth just by having great sales. We've got to be able to execute. We've got to be able to have a good strategy long-term, or it's not sustainable.
So I'm going to comment on two of them. The whole idea of customer loyalty is really the only way you can sustain a business, because what happens to make a sale, it pales in comparison to keeping the customer.
Yeah.
Because at the point you make the sale, that's the opportunity to build a relationship, and you either win or lose based on the first service call. That's number one. And number two, when you were talking about people, and I'd really like your opinion on this, I want to know how attractive each company is, so that they don't have to advertise for somebody. They have a line of people waiting to get a job in this company, and the HR person doesn't have to sell the company. The employee has to sell the fact of why they
like
want to go work there.
Huh? Like Google. People want to work there.
Well, I can tell you this, in the old days, and you can run the storyline if you want to, but Xerox was at one time the sought after sales company. because they had a training process and guys would go there for 2 years, quit and go someplace else or stay sometimes, but for the most part quit. But they had the reputation of having the best sales training on the planet.
Yep.
So people would get right out of college, go right to Xerox, and then figure out what they wanted. It was like a master's degree, you know, to be able to be successful. How are you coaching your customers to be attractive so that they get the best people? They get the right people coming in the door.
You know, it starts with, my clients are the CEOs and the executive teams, and it's got to start at that level with how are we treating our employees? How are we communicating? Because when we treat the employees well, the customers get treated well. And a lot of my clients, when I start with them, they don't have good environments. They aren't able to attract people. So we've really got to change the culture in the organization. And that ties right into the discipline of mission. You know, how are we defining and living this environment that we desire that is attractive? And then how are we behaving every single day that people would recommend others to work there? And without the right culture. And I think today there's a lot of negative cultures in businesses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
well,
for
there's
sure.
a lot of drama. There's a lot of rumor. There's a lot of, you know, corporate bullshit that goes on where people are trying to climb a ladder, but they don't use the ladder. They use somebody else's back.
And there's a lot of people going for the grass is greener.
Yeah.
So, okay. At the very beginning, you mentioned that your book, Pulling Profits Out of a Hat, has been on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list 3 weeks in a row already.
Yeah, rare in today's world, by the way.
And that's very rare. And I know that we have diehards who are dreaming of writing a book or who have written a book. And I'm curious if you could give us some insight into how to make that possible. So, like, not just how to write a book, but how do you make it become a bestseller?
You know, it's a lot of marketing. We've done a ton of speaking engagements. We've done a lot of marketing. If you're traveling today, you can get the book in every airport out there. And Jen, I was next to yours in an airport the other day. So I did take a picture of our two books.
Oh,
sitting
cool.
You could have signed
That's
it and
awesome.
Said, I know her.
I love that.
So I think it's about awareness, but it is about the concept and being unique and really adding value to the world. And one of the reasons that really drove us to this concept is every business is missing out on so many things of profit in their business because we're stepping over them because we don't see value. And that's what I see as important. So you got to have the right message, but it is about you got to do the boots on the ground. You got to do speaking engagements. You got to do webinars. Yeah. You got to get everything out there. We've done a lot of social media marketing. We've done, like I said, airports. We're in bookstores. You just got to get out in front of everybody, but you got to have the message right.
The book has to be face out in the bookstore or you lose. I mean, you can do all the marketing you want. If the book ain't in the bookstore, you're toast.
Yeah. Well, hey, way to go.
Yeah,
that
way to
is
go,
awesome.
For sure.
And thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge with our diehards.
We will put all of your how to find you in the show notes, but I think that the challenge for our diehards right now is go get the book and gain your own insight about how you can make your own money appear.
All right, let's talk about this concept of the ideal leader. Like, do you even think there are ideal leaders? Do they exist? Have you had an ideal leader in your life, Jeffrey?
Well, I've had several ideal leaders in my life, especially in my young life, because you follow people. When you're young, you're looking for that role model, that example of who could be who could possibly be the best. And I grew up in the 60s, and the two best leaders also gave the two best speeches ever.
Okay.
John Kennedy, President of the United States, assassinated, gave the best inaugural address of all time in the wind, in the freezing-ass cold, the Ask Not quote. And Martin Luther King, who took an entire movement of people, the civil rights movement, and single-handedly and peacefully created better opportunities for every person in the country, not just his people.
So I think,
and just by the way, the I Have a Dream speech, I listen to at least every year. It is the best speech ever given.
Yeah. I think it's important if you're trying to be a leader, you should reread that speech and think about what was going on in his head during that time and that time period and what routes he could have taken and what route he took, because he took the successful route. And now think about what's going on in your life and whatever you're trying to create change around or create leadership around or get people to follow you in doing whatever, and think about how you can model your speech, your presentation after the MLK one.
Let's go to Monty for a second.
Okay.
He is talking about adding zeros, and everyone wants to add a zero. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if you got a $10,000 check and somebody said, let's make it $100,000?
Yeah.
You only have to add one zero, and what's that going to take? So that's number one. And he's the co-author of this book called Pulling Profits Out of a Hat. Now, he explains that it's not magic, mm-hmm. and that you can do it methodically and make profits happen. As a diehard, you have a sales plan. And that sales plan came to you in January. They didn't pull that out of a hat. They pulled that number out of their ass. And they gave you an arbitrary number, and then you made a goal to make somebody else's goal. And I think you need to look at that as, how can I do this, not I'm angry about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's challenging your sales ability, not your anger or your frustration or your ability to not achieve it. You can't go back and commiserate with people at a water fountain. You have a sales number, and you have to make your sales number, plain and simple. And you do it by working your ass off.
Yeah.
So Monty was giving us an incredible lesson today from a leadership perspective and from a sales perspective. And I hope you guys follow it to the T.
Yeah. Well, he talks about like not treating your team as mindless robots, but you really don't treat anyone like a mindless robot.
Right.
Teach people
unless you're in an Amazon warehouse.
And they are mindless robots.
Yeah, I think
like
they can think though.
I don't know. I think the robots are going to take us over one day, but that's another Sell or Die episode. But as a leader, you need to be able to teach your people, whether it's your kids that you're leading, your employees, your customers, whoever you're trying to lead, how to think.
I don't pay any employee to work. I pay them to think. And work is a byproduct of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like them to be happy, so I'm happy. And I try to set the example of happy by setting a standard of happiness that most people don't have.
Well, for the record, I'm happy.
Damn. All right, so I want you to go out and happily go about your business, diehards. I want you to make sure that you're going to talk about how you're going to win, not why you can't do what you're supposed to do. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, and until next time,
get out there and make a sale, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.